the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation, concerning which I have spoken, turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intended to bring on it. And at another moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I had intended to do to it. Now therefore say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, look, I am a potter shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil way and amend your ways and your doings. Here ends the reading from God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we pray for the gift of your Spirit in this place, that it would fill the words that are spoken, that it would open our hearts and our minds to hear a word of the gospel that you have to give to us today. Reveal to us your truth, inspire our lives, shape us as disciples of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Once I was having a conversation with a couple of newlyweds, and we somehow got to talking about the vocation of parenthood. And one of them made the comment that one of the gifts of parenthood was that you were given the freedom to mold and shape this child as you would have the child to be. And when I finally stopped laughing in their face, I gently explained that this is not how it works. You think you are receiving this unformed person, and that you will have the chance to shape their habits and their personality and their behavior. And this is true, but only in part, in very, very, very small part. In fact, what is happening is that your habits and your personality and your behavior is also being shaped by this thing that cannot walk and cannot talk. Amen. This is what crying is. Crying conditions a grown adult to do whatever is needed to make the crying stop. I have run the vacuum without actually vacuuming. I have paced the floor. I have laid on the floor next to a crib. I've climbed over seats in a moving vehicle on a highway to make the crying stop. It's all part of a growing realization that actually it's you that's being molded. Actually. And this is the kind of relationship that Jeremiah finds when he goes down to the potter's house to understand what it's like between God and God's people. There is this interchange. God is molded, the potter is molding the clay, but the clay does not always respond how the potter would like. And so there is this interchange of one shaping the other. One's response shapes the other's response. And most creative endeavors are delicate like this. If you paint, or you do pottery, or you write music, or you write words, these things are not easily manipulated or controlled. They get away from you, which is why we recognize that people who can do it really well have a particular gift. They're able to manipulate this thing that's really hard to manipulate. And we recognize that it takes a particular gift to do it, and it takes a lot of work to do it, and you have to learn how to do it. And there are usually many, many failures. For every moment when you get it right, there are many, many things that you get wrong. We see Picassos and Rembrandts and Monets. We see sculptures, but we don't see how many ended up in the trash. You ever make something and you think, well, if I just add a little bit here, or just take away that thing there, it'll be better. And then you keep doing that until you wish you had never started and you've totally messed it up and you have to start over. This is how we are. If we are God's creative medium, if we are what God is working with, then this is also true for us. We are plastic and unwieldy and easily broken and easily out of shape, hard to figure out, capable in one moment of breathtaking beauty, but also in another moment of just collapsing into a mess. Can you imagine what God must feel like seeing us rise to the challenge of what God is making us, but then also collapse into a heap? Just when God is counting on us. The potter leans over the wheel, shaping patiently, focusing intently, knowing that this medium is unwieldy and delicate and uncooperative, and that with one false move, one finger in the wrong place, one turn of the wheel, or even without anything doing anything in particular, all of the stiffness in the potter's back and all of the cramps in her hands and all of the sweat can just be undone. And so, as satisfying as it might be to see a beautiful vase pulled from the kiln, a perfect work, imagine the frustration of shaping and turning and then just having to pound it all back to how it started. This is where God is in the book of Jeremiah, frustrated that God has been working and working and trying to draw out God's people into this beautiful thing, to draw out Israel, God's chosen people, into this beautiful thing that will bring glory and honor to God, and God is feeling like it's all got to be collapsed down and worked over again. But there's this delicate, seamless connection between the artist and the medium where God is shaping the people into what God desires of humanity. But it's so delicate. So delicate that what God means for one thing can turn into something else. What God means for blessing, we turn into a means for oppressing other people. The capacity for love that God has given us is a wonderful and bottomless gift, but we hoard it like misers. God touches us lightly with grace and forgiveness, and we just fold in on ourselves, and we're not willing to give that grace and forgiveness to somebody else. So there might be moments when we need to be formless again. God's got to get it back to where we started. It's what God tells the people through Jeremiah. There may be moments when the potter's back is tired and the whole thing is coming apart in the wheel, and there needs to be a new beginning, so that we can be reconnected to the life that God intended us to have with and for each other. And it's not just about our individual lives, because if you notice, at the end, God tells Jeremiah to go and talk to the people. But in the beginning, God is talking about nations, kingdoms. He's talking about how we live together. So it's not only that God is shaping each one of us individually, but God is also shaping us collectively so that the way that we live together brings honor and glory to in the way that God has designed us to live. So Randy talks a little bit about Decker Smith pottery. This is some of Jessa Decker Smith's work. And she has this Facebook page where she shares the process of her work, and I'm always amazed by the process. I'm always amazed by things, people who are really good at things I could never think about doing. Because she sees something formless and sees possibility. She sees something that is nothing and imagines something as beautiful as that. Which, to me, is amazing, because this morning we did our intergenerational Sunday school and we all had like clay in our hands. We were working it around and I made a little cup with a little spout. You know, that's what I made out of it. But it wasn't like this. It wasn't like that. It wasn't as creative and shapely and beautiful as that. I flattened it out and it could have been a plate, but it wasn't a plate like that. with all of its ruffled edges. I couldn't even begin to imagine that. Or to imagine something like this, that you could take something like this and use it as a means to dispense light. She has a vision for what it might be, just like God has a vision for what we might be. And that vision, has a name. Jesus of Nazareth. We have minds of our own. We respond not always as God would have us to respond, but we have the image of what God is trying to shape and form each of us into. Think about the intricacies of that vision. What you know about Jesus of Nazareth, the finished, fired thing that God is trying to bring us along to. Jesus is strong, but he's not dominating. He's generous, but he's not careless. He's peaceable, but not willing to accept inequity. He is a servant, but insists on his own dignity. He's loving, forgiving, offering grace, but especially to those who may not be found worthy by those around him. It's beautiful, and it's a distinct vision. It's not just for us, it's for our life together. This is what God is shaping us into the image and likeness of Christ. And sometimes we are more pliant and we are more cooperative than at other times. Because in case you didn't notice, those things that characterize that vision are hard to be. Strong but not dominating. Generous but not careless. Peaceable, but not willing to accept inequity. A servant, but insisting on dignity. Those are hard things to be. Sometimes we will get them out of balance. God has to work on us. And with us, God is creative and patient and desires lives of beauty for us and is working in us, reshaping us and remolding us when things get out of whack. Not just when we get out of whack, but when we get out of whack together. When we enter into a season when our values are out of whack. When we are out of balance, when we have lost the balance that Jesus teaches us to have that characterizes the kingdom of God, God is going to break us down back into the basics. That's not always pleasant when it's lived experience. But God has a vision for what we might be. And starting over is never the end. The other thing that I love about this image is that if anybody ever knows anyone who does any kind of art, they never throw things away. An artist messes up a canvas, but they don't toss out the canvas. Sometimes when I'm writing, I will write something, I think, well, that doesn't really fit here, but I don't delete it. That's right. I just hit enter a few times and let it live at the bottom of the page because you never know when it might be useful again. Jessa started envisioning what she could do with the little scraps of clay. Too small to be worked into anything else, but not useless. Never throw away clay. A potter never throws away clay. So she started making these little buttons. She started giving them out to ministers to take into hospitals before surgeries, to people who were in anxious situations where you sometimes just need something to do with your hands. Now, you or I might look at that and see a bit of clay that could just as soon be swept into the trash. But what she saw was a possibility for blessing. Something that could be given out, shared with those around, so that everybody may know that God's love is also true for them. Pass those around. So there's no such thing as trash. There's no such thing as waste. There's no point when the artist gives up on what something good could be made. In the passage it says that the vessel was spoiled in the potter's hand, but the potter started making another vessel. In other words, when we don't respond as God would have called us to respond, God can work us into something else. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but it is a comfort to me to know that when I am out of balance and out of whack, that God will not throw me away. Yes. That there is some meaning and purpose. Even when I am strong and dominating, even when I am careless but not so generous, when I am loving and forgiving, but only to some folks, that God will not throw me away. That there is meaning and purpose, that God will take me, unshaped and unwieldy as I am, and make me into something else entirely. This is the gift of grace. This is what we practice week after week after week. We are reminded that we come here. And no matter where things are, no matter how much we've gotten right, no matter how much we've gotten wrong, that God is still working on us. Because you know, what's also true about the image is that the potter, we never see in this passage the potter put the pot into the fire. Because when you put it in the fire, that's it. It is what it is. But as long as it hasn't been fired, you can still reshape it. And all it takes sometimes to one that you think is what it is, if you just add a little bit of water and work it in your hand, and all of a sudden it becomes pliable again, right? We are never a finished product. One finished product, Jesus of Nazareth. The rest of us, God is still doing this. Still working us. Still needing us, still trying to create God's good vision of what we could be, not just in our own lives, but in our life together. Thanks be to God that we are in the hands of the potter.